Saraswati Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Naratamam. Devim Sarasatim Vyasam. Tato Jayamudirayat. Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. This morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 30, entitled The Activities of the Prachetas, text number 27. Rupam Bhagavata Tu Etad Ashesha Klesha Sankshayam Avishkritam Naha Klishtanam Kim Anyad Anukampitam Rupam Bhagavata Tvetad Rupam Bhagavata Tvetad Ashesha Klesha Sankshayam Ashesha Klesha Sankshayam Avishkritam Na Klishtanam Avishkritam Na Klishtanam Kim anyad anukampitam. Kim anyad anukampitam. I'm on the wrong verse. Rupam. Form. Bhagavata. By your lordship. Tu. But. Etat. This. Ashesha, unlimited. Klesha, miseries. Sankshayam, which dissipates. Avishkritam, revealed. Naha, of us. Klishtanam, who are suffering from material conditions. Kim anyat, what to speak of. Anukampitam, those to whom you are always favorably disposed. Translation. Dear Lord, we conditioned souls are always covered by ignorance in the bodily conception of life. We, therefore, always prefer the miserable conditions of material existence. To deliver us from these miserable conditions, you have advented yourself in this transcendental form. This is evidence of your unlimited, causeless mercy upon those of us who are suffering in this way. What then to speak of the devotees to whom you are always so favorably disposed? Responsively, please repeat. Dear Lord, We conditioned souls
are always covered by ignorance
in the bodily conception of life.
We therefore always prefer
the miserable conditions of material existence
to deliver us from these miserable conditions.
You have advantaged yourself
in this transcendental form.
This is evidence of
your causeless mercy, your unlimited causeless mercy
upon those of us who are suffering in this way.
What then to speak of the devotees
to whom you are always
so favorably disposed?
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. When the Lord appears in his original form, he acts to deliver the pious and annihilate the miscreants. Although he annihilates the demons, he nonetheless benefits them. It is said that all the living entities who died on the battlefield of Kurukshetra attained their original constitutional position, or swarup, because they had the chance to see Krishna face to face riding in the chariot of Arjuna. On the battlefield of Kurukshetra, superficially two things were going on. The demons were being killed, and the devotee Arjuna was being protected. However, the results were the same for everyone. Thus it is said that the appearance of the Lord diminishes all kinds of miserable conditions caused by material existence. It is clearly stated in this verse that this form, Ashesha Klesha Sankshayam, is meant to diminish all the miserable conditions experienced in life, not only by the devotees, but by all others. Avishkritam naklishtanam. The Prachetas identified themselves as common men. Kimanyad anukampitam. The devotees are always favorably accepted by the Lord. The Lord shows all mercy, not only to the conditioned souls, but also to the devotees, who are already liberated due to their devotional service. The form of the Lord as worshipped in the temples is called Archa Vigraha or Archa Avatar, the worshipable form, the deity incarnation. This facility is offered to neophyte devotees so that they can see the real form of the Lord face to face and offer their respectful obeisances and sacrifices in the form of archa. Through such facilities, the neophytes gradually invoke their original Krishna consciousness. Deity worship in the form of temple worship is the most valuable benediction given by the Lord to beginners. All neophytes must therefore engage in the worship of the Lord by keeping the Archa Vigraha or Archa Avatara at home or in the temple. Rupam Bhagavata Tvetadakshesha Klesha Sankshayam Avishkritam Naklishtanam Kimanyaranukampitam. Dear Lord, we conditioned souls are always covered by ignorance in the bodily conception of life. We therefore always prefer the miserable conditions of material existence. To deliver us from these miserable conditions, you have advented yourself in this transcendental form.
This is evidence of your unlimited causeless mercy upon those of us who are suffering in this way. What then to speak of the devotees to whom you are always so favorably disposed? Certainly the prachetas are not ordinary conditioned souls as they are stating here. But we always find that very advanced souls exhibit amazing pastimes of humility. And they're always concerned to uplift the fallen conditioned souls. Prahlad Maharaj exemplified this when he told Lord Nrisimhadev that, for myself, I require nothing because I have your lotus feet to worship and I feel fully satisfied. But when I see the suffering condition in this material world of all of the conditioned souls, I become very unhappy. Maya sukaya baram udvahato vimudhan. Bewildered by the illusory material energy, the conditioned souls think they are enjoying in the bodily conception of life. They think there is some sukh or happiness in this maya. But in actuality, they are vimudha. Not only mudha, but vimudha, or very foolish. Another meaning of the word mudha is donkey. So the donkey is certainly a foolish animal. The donkey carries, especially in India, very heavy load of grains or a washerman's load of laundry or whatever it is. They carry very heavy load, and even though they do not get to enjoy any of the sugar or the grain or whatever it is they are carrying, still they work very hard under the hope that in the evening they'll get a little green grass from their master and perhaps they will enjoy a little sex life with the she-donkey. But Srila Prabhupada points out, they don't realize that grass is growing everywhere. They don't have to depend upon their master. And invariably, they, although they are depending upon the she-donkey for gratification, but that situation always is, that situation also is not always very favorable because sometimes they just get kicked in the face by the she-donkey. So material life is like that. Most of the population are just like mudha, working very, very hard in overcrowded, polluted cities and getting a very small wage so they can just make ends meet or they can just keep their family together and squeeze out a simple living. But if they get a little food at night and a little sex life, then they think, oh, this is very nice. It is all worth it.
I am doing better than my next door neighbor. How nice. And in this way, they go through the miseries of material existence. Birth, death, disease, old age, miseries caused by nature, miseries caused by other living beings harassing us, miseries caused by the infirmity of our own body. Somebody has a weak liver. Somebody has a weak kidney. Somebody has a weak heart. Everybody has got some disability or some problems with this body. And now most of you are quite young, so you are not experiencing so many miseries. But when you become as old as Nisringananda, then, or me, then you will have to experience how the body breaks down gradually and almost imperceptibly. Time sneaks up, just like a dacoit sneaks up to you in the alley or on the road or at night somewhere and just catches you and takes away all your wealth. So similarly, time sneaks up. Ayur arati vai pungsang udyan astan chayan asau. With every rising and setting of the sun, your time is taken away. You're coming closer and closer to death. And all your facility that you have depended upon for enjoying sense gratification, the senses and even the objects of the senses, the facilities which you have accumulated and worked so hard to obtain, they all deteriorate and disappear. They all dwindle. Everything in this world is born or is produced and exists for some time and deteriorates and disappears. So nothing is permanent in this material world, and anyone who thinks that he can find happiness in these non-permanent things is under the greatest illusion. And of course, the biggest illusion that we face is that I am this body. The body, of course, we have desired to take this body. We wanted to imitate Lord Krishna. We wanted to enjoy our own pastimes independently of him. And based upon our desires and our past karma, we have gotten this particular body with a particular color of eyes, a particular set of ears and nose, all of our genes, everything, because of our past karma. And because of our desire to enjoy, we have gotten this particular situation. And the cycle of birth and death is endless in the material world. You go on taking one body after another until you come to the point of realizing that this is all useless. I cannot achieve the real happiness which I'm hankering after through sense gratification. Dushparena nalena cha. The senses are always burning and they are never satisfied. That is the nature. People enjoy
smoking cigarettes. But one cigarette is not enough. They require one after another, and they're never satisfied. People take some intoxication, some alcohol, but that also does not satisfy them. And sex life also does not satisfy them. And as they get older, they're not able to enjoy. When they're very young, they enjoy sex life tri-weekly. There's a saying, tri-weekly, tri-weekly, tri-weekly. T-R-I, means three times a week. Tri-weekly, when they're young. And then when they're middle-aged, tri-weekly, T-R-Y. They try to have weekly. That's W-E-E-K-L-Y. And when they get old, they try weekly, W-E-A-K-L-Y. So, everything diminishes. As we get older and we face death, then people become very fearful. And in anxiety, always agitated, they leave the material world, and because they have lived a sinful life without any reference to God, they have to pay the price. You cannot escape the laws of God. For every action, there is a reaction. If you have lived an irresponsible life, then invariably you have caused distress to other living beings. And you will have to suffer for that. People think that because Srila Prabhupada used to quote his Professor Urquhart in Scottish Churches College in Calcutta, where he went to Christian college. So that professor used to minimize Indian philosophy. He used to talk about the law of karma and say that where is the witness? If I do something, there is nobody to keep account so that in my next life I will suffer. He thought this was a very intelligent refutation of the law of karma. And Srila Prabhupada, being a young and somewhat perhaps shy or perhaps respectful young man, he did not challenge his professor in the class, but he always thought that this is not a very logical or intelligent argument. And Krishna says that he is within andantarasta paramanu chayantarastam. He is within every atom. So his eyes and his ears are everywhere. The sun and the moon are his eyes. His ears are everywhere. He can see. Anumanta upadrashta. He is the overseer and the permitter in all activities. He is Paramatma, sarvasya chaham hridi, Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridayeshe Arjuna tishtati. So he is observing directly and through his agents indirectly all of our activities. And for everything that we do, there will be a reaction. So why should we remain in this material world and suffer when by Lord Chaitanya's mercy we can come out of our darkness? Tamasi ma jyotirgamaya. The Vedic scriptures exhort us, they push us, they're beckoning to us, calling us. Don't stay in ignorance. What do you gain from all of this? Your flickering happiness in the form of sense gratification is so inferior. If you are lost in the forest, and after many days without food, you begin to eat the grass and perhaps the bark from the trees, something you eat to try to maintain your body. And after many weeks of eating grass and tree bark and leaves from trees and so many things, not very tasty, someone rescues you and gives you a nice rasgulla or gulab jamun. So are you going to say, no, I like my grass, I like my bark? No, immediately you'll take the higher thing. So this is the process of Krishna consciousness, to cultivate a higher taste. Right now, it seems that the chains, the shackles, when you're in the prison, they put shackles around your legs and your hands. They chain you down. Some prisons, anyway. So these are the chains. Maitna Agara. Illicit sex life is described as the chain which keeps us in the bodily conception of life. Sense gratification, unrestricted sense gratification, is keeping us in this material world where we're forced. As long as you're here, you have to accept both the good and the bad, sukha, dukkha, happiness and distress. They're opposite sides of the same coin. As long as you try to enjoy sense gratification, you will have to suffer sense deprivation, or even worse, various forms of pain inflicted upon you. Nobody wants suffering, but it comes automatically because it is part of this material world. Therefore, Krishna tells Arjuna, Nistraigunya Bhavarjun, rise above the modes of material nature. Nirvanva Nityasatvasto Niryoga Kshema Atmavan. Be established in the self. And what is the self? The self is not the body. The self is a servant of Krishna, a spiritual particle. Mamaivamsa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. Krishna claims all of us as his part and parcel. We have a natural relationship with God. We're trying to develop an artificial relationship with these bodies. These bodies are already dead. They're just lumps of matter. Just a bag of so many abominable things. Why should we foolishly remain attached to this? But we should give it up. And the process to cut the knot, chidyante sarva sangshaya, to cut the knot of material affection, is the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The holy name of the Lord cleanses the dust from the mirror of the heart. Cheto darpanam arjanam. Bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam. The knowledge, it is not dry, it is dynamic, it gives you a full taste for the happiness which you're always hankering after. And all knowledge is achieved, perfect knowledge is achieved by perfect chanting.
Krishna says, yeyata mam prapadyante tangstataiva bhajami aham. Whatever priority you give to him, however much you surrender to the Lord, he will reveal himself to you. So ultimately, the responsibility is with you. Krishna is very kind to us. He has come himself only a few thousand years ago. He came again 500 years ago. He is sending great devotees like Srila Prabhupada to bless us, to enlighten us. Om Agyan Timirandasya. The spiritual master has come to force us to open our eyes while we were lingering in darkness, loitering, just like some street vagabond, some bum, some lazy, foolish person in the street. We are lingering here in this world of ignorance. We foolishly accept the material body when it is easy to understand that I am not the body. In fact, simply it is due to agyan. Om agyan. It's simply due to a lack of knowledge. Otherwise, the body is constantly giving us pain. Moment to moment, we get a little chapala sukh, a little flickering enjoyment, and we think that we will go on for another day or another week or another month. But not only the body, but the mind is harassing us. Everything is distressing. Dukkalayam ashasvatam. Practically speaking, being honest, being realistic, there's nothing nice about this material world. It is only mental concoction that we think this is good and this is bad. Ultimately, everything ends in old age, disease, and death. If I offer you all a job, and as your employer, I tell you that if you work for me for 6 months, then I will pay you zero salary. I don't think that too many of you will rush forward to get a job application form. But the material body, we are working so hard to gratify the demands of the body. The body is pushing us. Come on, I want this. Get me that. I think I would like to have this. Get it for me. And we're working so hard, just these impulses are coming. You see, all these desires, they're coming one after another, one after another, based upon the senses and the sense objects. And we're foolishly giving our time and our energy to work so hard to fulfill these desires. And what is the final payment that the body gives us? Old age, disease, weakness, and death. Fear, anxiety, misery. And is that the end? Is that nirvana? Now we're free? No. Again we have to come back. Jatasya hi dhruvo mrityur dhruvam janma mritasya cha. For one who has died, birth is certain. It's a cycle, an endless cycle. And until we learn our lesson, and kick off the shackles of Maya, cut the knot of material affection, and take shelter of Lord Krishna and his devotees, we'll have to foolishly suffer again and again. So, it is up to us ultimately. Krishna has given us everything, and we have to apply ourselves. The deity worship of the Lord is there so that we can focus on the personality of Godhead. The last snare, the last trap of Maya is that we become a little pious
and we start to worship God, but we misconstrue, we misidentify ourselves with God. We think, I am God. That is the last trap of Maya. So to avoid that pitfall, that danger, that booby trap, that ditch, so that we don't fall into that condition, we have been given deity worship to focus on the person of Godhead, the personality of Godhead. So it's very, very important. And undoubtedly we are neophytes. A very, very advanced devotee who can see Krishna everywhere, perhaps he does not need deity worship. He can take shelter in the pure name, Divya Naam. But we certainly need a balanced diet of devotional service, chanting, deity worship, a regulated schedule. And we should be happy and satisfied with that process, knowing that it is the only efficacious process. It is the only thing that will save us. Bhaktya mam avijanati yavanyaschasmi tatvatah. Tato mam gyatvato vishate tadanantaram. It is the only thing that can save us, devotional service. And part of devotional service is deity worship. Krishna has agreed to accept our service in this form. People criticize sometimes, those in ignorance, they criticize that this is idol worship. But such people are usually, actually I've seen, everybody's engaged in deity worship. Even the Christians, they all have their symbols, their icons, their deities that they worship. The Catholics have so many deities that they worship. They all put a deity of Christ up on a cross and bow down and worship that deity. They're not very sophisticated in their worship, but they're worshiping. And even the Muslims have their Kaaba, which they bow down and worship. And everywhere you see the same principle is there. They need somewhere to look. The Muslims, they face when they do their prayers five times a day. They all worship the Kaaba. They face that direction. They don't just face any direction to do their prayers. There's a system, a process. Religion is a process. It is a technique. So we have state-of-the-art spiritual technology. We have the best process, most scientific. Everything is explained nicely. And yet foolish people not understanding will criticize. So as preachers, we have to try to communicate and explain to those who are willing to understand. And every intelligent man, he will agree to take up this process. Anyone with a little intelligence who is interested in spiritual life, he can understand, and there's no reason why he shouldn't take it up if he's sincere. And by chanting and by offering the fruits of our activities, anashrita karma phalam, karyam karma karotiya, sasanyasi cha yogi cha na niragni na chakriha, by offering the fruits of our work to the deity, to the Lord, and by serving him nicely, gradually Nobody has promised. We are not promising instant nirvana. We're not promising some cheap process. Within 6 weeks, you realize that you are God. You give me $50, I give you secret mantra, and within 6 weeks, you learn to fly. Not like that. We're offering a life of devotional service, a lifetime of chanting and working for Krishna, and even some austerity, rising early, these things in the beginning. Any devotee, Kurma Rupa, he's always laughing, always joking, always smiling. Any devotee you will see who has dedicated his life to the process of Krishna consciousness, he's not feeling any difficulty, any anxiety. So you just have to have patience and sincerely work hard to advance in this process of Krishna consciousness. And very quickly, you will make progress. Very quickly means within this lifetime. Which is very quick, because we've been wandering in the material world for so many lifetimes. These habits that we have, we think sometimes, why can't I kick this lust and this greed and this anger? Why can't I know it's bad for me. Why can't I just kick it off like a snake sheds its skin? Why can't I just shed this, all these desires that are pricking me, that are pushing me there? Vegas, they're things that are pushing us and pulling us. So why can't I just kick it off? Because it's a habit that's deeply rooted in your heart. For millions of lifetimes you've been surrendering to your material desires. So now, by some great good fortune, we've gotten an opportunity to associate with Srila Prabhupada and his books and his devotees. So we're learning, but it doesn't mean that immediately we're eligible. We have to qualify ourselves for pure devotional service. It's not cheap. It's the easiest process, but there is a price that you have to pay. Tatra lolyam api ekalam mulyam. Your enthusiasm, your almost your greediness. You have to be as intensely serious about pursuing your spiritual life as when you really want something materially. There's a kind of energy which overtakes you, greed. You can't think of anything else. Someone who wants to become king of the country or prime minister or the best runner in the world or the best football player or the best movie actor, or he becomes completely focused. And he wants more and more, more fame, more beauty, more wealth. So that same kind of absorption has to be there. I want Krishna's mercy. I want Krishna's lotus feet. I want Krishna's love. What can I do to get Krishna's mercy? Where do I have to go? What do I have to do? What austerities do I have to perform? It doesn't matter. I want Krishna's mercy. I can't stand it here in the material world anymore. I don't want to have to come back again. I want to get free now. So Krishna, please help me. You have to be so intense.
But Krishna reciprocates. He's also very intense. He says, I want you. Why don't you come to me, you foolish soul? Come, enjoy with me. He's also intense. It's a very dynamic relationship. But it's up to you. You have to initiate the relationship. So everything is here in Srimad Bhagavatam. Everything is here in the process of deity worship, devotional service. The man is drowning in the well. Someone comes to the top of the well. The drowning man sees him. He cries out very piteously, please, sir, please, throw me a rope. Give me your mercy. Throw me a rope. So the man at the top of the well throws a rope. So the rope is hanging in the air just above the head of the drowning man in the well. And then the drowning man cries out again, please, sir, please, give me your mercy. Make my hands go around the rope. No, you have to put your own hands around the rope. You have to do something. Krishna's giving us opportunity, so we have to take it. Then our life will be successful. Are there any questions or comments? Such a person is probably committing all 10 of the 10 offenses. He should just go on chanting and reading Srila Prabhupada's books. Everything is there in Srila Prabhupada's books. How can you miss it? Association with devotees is one of the 5 most important elements of performing devotional service. So if you're reading Prabhupada's books and you read that practically on every page, it is stated one must associate with Vaishnavas. So if you won't follow that, then what type of a belligerent person are you? Try to get him to eat more prasadam or something. I don't know. Maybe he should have some counseling from Nisringananda Prabhu. He can teach him about relationships, developing. What do you say? What's your answer for someone who's... chanting and reading books but won't associate with devotees. How can we save that person? He says each case is individual. But we should, see, we had a nice discussion at Radha Desh about the society of devotees and their relationships and their dealings with one another and the non-devotees or the non-active devotees living outside of that association. So the point was made that what is preaching? Preaching is not so much that we go outside of our society and mix with people outside. But rather, we try to make our society so nice and our relationships so Krishna conscious. And then we bring people from outside, inside, to our community. So, it is important for us to think about how to save all of the fallen conditioned souls. And if someone is already chanting and reading Prabhupada's books, then certainly we should be concerned about how to bring him into the association of devotees. There is the story in the Bible about the 99 and the one. The one sheep that left the herd of sheep, and Jesus went out to search for that one sheep. So that action of Jesus was a very powerful symbol of God's love, that he cares for all of us. And we should also be concerned with everyone who shows even a little interest in Krishna consciousness. Any other questions? Yes? In Bengali there is a proverb. How does that go? Pagale na bale, khagale na khai. How does that? Do you remember that? What is there that a goat won't eat? And what is there that a madman won't say? Anyone can say any foolish thing. If someone thinks that eating meat is a higher taste, then maybe he should have the body of a tiger. Because eating meat is so difficult in the human form of life. You have to kill the animal, you have to cut away all the fat. Then you have to cook the meat and season it with spices. As a tiger, you can just begin a meeting immediately without cooking and drink the blood and digest the meat. And if you like to eat meat, then why don't you eat your mother? Actually, human meat is said to be far more tasty than any other kind of meat. Oh, well, I love my mother. You don't love the cow? She's also your mother. What can we say if people... This is the problem. Those who are meat eaters... They are described in Srimad Bhagavatam. They don't have the intelligence. They don't have the power of discrimination to see the difference between real knowledge and ignorant activities. So Prabhupada said preaching in this Kali Yuga is like trying to feed medicine to a pig. It takes one man to hold the back legs, one man to hold the front legs, one man to open the mouth, one man to put the medicine. It's very difficult to feed medicine to a pig. And it's very difficult to preach to people who are so absorbed in sense gratification that they can murder millions and millions and millions of animals every day, that they can murder millions and millions of children every day, in the womb, out of the womb, that they can murder millions of, you know yourselves right next door, what slaughter and killing is going on, because people have no sensitivity. You can take a knife and cut an animal's throat and drink the blood, and you can also, what is the difference between the animal and some other body? Just one is a human and one is non-human, but after a while, you lose the boundary. Killing becomes just a part of your life. And ultimately, you become Atmaha, or killer of the soul. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jaya.